With the kind of security breaches and attacks that we are witnessing in this era, it becomes of prior importance that we prioritize security at the top.
Hey everyone, my name is Henry Suryawirawan, and you're listening to the Tech Lead Journal, the show where I'll be bringing you the greatest technical leaders, practitioners, and thought leaders in the industry to discuss about their journey, ideas, and practices that we all can learn and apply to build a highly performing technical team and to make an impact in your personal work. So let's dive into our journal. Hello everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Tech Lead Journal with me, your host, Henry Suryawirawan. Before we start today's episode, if you would like to get notified for a new episode on your email inbox, you can now have it by subscribing to the Tech Lead Journal mailing list. You can go to the techleadjournal.dev website and submit your email address. By being a subscriber, you also won't miss any important news and updates from me, including potential giveaway contests in the upcoming week. Also, if you are enjoying and benefiting from these podcasts so much, consider becoming a patron of the Tech Lead Journal by visiting the techleadjournal.dev/patron. It is P-A-T-R-O-N. I will sincerely appreciate your support so much, and your valuable support will help me to make the production of the upcoming episodes more sustainable and frequent. As a patron, you'll also get exclusive access to patron-only contents, including direct personal access to me. So please pledge your support at techleadjournal.dev/patron. So, in this episode, I have the pleasure to have a conversation with Neha Malhotra. Neha just recently won the Top 20 Women in Cybersecurity in Singapore for 2020, which is an amazing accomplishment. I saw her LinkedIn post about her winning the award, and I decided to personally invite her to join me for this episode to share with us her journey for winning the award, and also, importantly, to educate us on cybersecurity, including some of the resources where we can learn more about it further. Neha is also very active in the community and volunteering, and she is passionate about championing women to thrive in cybersecurity and technology. It is very inspiring to hear what she has done, and I hope all of you can get inspired by her as well. So let's jump right into the episode. Welcome to the Tech Lead Journal, Neha.
Thank you so much, Henry. I'm pleased to be here. Very thrilled.
I saw a LinkedIn post recently in which that I saw you just recently won the Top 20 Women in Cybersecurity in Singapore for 2020. Congratulations for that.
Thank you so much.
It seems like a major award. So can you probably share with the audience here, what is the award all about? What's the background? And then how did you actually win the award?
Sure. I think that's a very pleasant recognition, and I feel very honored to have made it to the list of top 20 women in cybersecurity in Singapore. About the award, just to quote, the winners of this award represent 2020 role models who have made significant contributions, advanced the industry, and shaped the path for future generations of professionals, among other vital contributions. I think to the second part, what really helped me to get to this level and be recognized is my overall career journey, how I have paved my way into cybersecurity by self-learning and have made the most of whatever opportunities I got, and also my involvement with the community. So I have this drive to better myself and always been on the quest to keep learning together with taking measured actions. And whether it was changing roles or to move up to learn cybersecurity to get to the level I could be trusted to drive cybersecurity initiatives and programs with big banks like BNP Paribas, Deutsche Bank, and now Credit Suisse. So I think it's very important to take charge. I've worked on driving implementation of various cybersecurity initiatives, controls, and processes with the firms that I just mentioned about. I've worked closely with audit, governance, risk, and compliance as well, and have worked on several regulatory remediations, and including MAS regulators that usually we deal with. And I've worked on using security frameworks as well as updating policies and standards. So over the years, in addition to application security, I got a great opportunity to work within identity and access management, on privileged access management. And as part of my program manager role, I've worked also with different jobs, I got opportunities to work on driving encryption for data at rest, data in transit, then with logging and detection using security information and event management tools. I did some real-time analysis on security alerts generated by applications and network hardware. So I've worked within various kind of domains, including vulnerability management, network security, and to drive various implementations of security tools, processes, and controls. And then about my various community activities, I really love volunteering. So I've been doing volunteering since several years in various forms, but specific to cybersecurity, for instance, I have been volunteering with a lot of communities within Singapore, including Cybersecurity Agency of Singapore. So last year they had a campaign called Cool Safe Online. I was a cyber champion for the same. And the purpose was to raise cyber awareness and bring it to the ground to all the people, because at times we're living in, each individual across all age group need to have that basic cyber hygiene knowledge and should know the basics, for instance, about email and web browser protection using antivirus, importance of two-factor authentication, and setting right kind of passwords, recognizing phishing emails, not to fall prey to scams, and, you know, so on and so forth. So very basic for each individual that uses internet. Also, I try to get involved with the community, like Association of Information Security Professionals. And I also volunteer with ISE Square Singapore chapter as a communications director on their EXCO. So that's the governing body for cybersecurity training and certifications. And I even brought security to Google Developers Space inaugural event that was focused on fostering a speaker culture amongst women. So the objective of my 2-minute speaker pitch was completely focused on application securities, since their audience was mostly from development background. So I thought, why not? And I'm a part of events from Women in Security in Singapore. So yeah, I'm trying to do my best, learn and share as much as possible in and out of my day job, just focusing on good work irrespective of any expectations. But it feels great when the efforts get recognized.
Wow, hearing what you're sharing, so many contributions you have done to community, and it's really well deserved, I would say. So I have a few things from the things that you shared. The first one is about the Go Safe Online campaign, right, where you teach people about cybersecurity, cyber awareness. We all know due to this pandemic, I think the digital adoption somehow gets accelerated. And I think it's very important for all of us to be more aware about cybersecurity. Can you share with us some of the tips or maybe some of the things that you normally share for people, especially those who are not really much aware of cybersecurity? What needs to be focused on or what needs to be implemented for them to be secure in their digital work life these days?
Yeah, definitely. That's a great question. So as part of, for instance, the awareness campaign that we did, it was for everyone, those people who do not know technology, those from various backgrounds, or those even who are retired, but they have to use online banking. They have an email where they do receive emails, or they do have a phone where they receive phone calls. Nowadays, phishing is not just limited to emails, as we know. So just to have that awareness created. So what we did was, you know, had games for all of those important things so that people can really get involved into and get to know what we are trying to convey. So for instance, we had games wherein there were emails for them to recognize which one is a phishing email and what are the kind of various factors that we can look into an email. For instance, who is the sender? Is there any urgency that it is implying upon? Is there a link? Is it asking you your bank details? Is this person, whoever is decepting you, trying to give you a free award or reward? So all of these factors we tried to bring in the form of a game, and that was really a good eye-opener for the masses, I would say. Similar to that, as you mentioned, we all use phones, so having a good secure application to detect any malwares and not to click on any links that we do not know about, checking each and every email ID, where it is coming from. Just the basic things, at least to have an antivirus installed in your home computers, having right kind of passwords. So people usually have smaller length passwords, but they think that if they make it complicated, it is difficult to break. But we have so many easy ways that can be used these days to have the password hacked within seconds or milliseconds. There are brute force attack or dictionary attacks. So there are so many other kind of password attacks. So the only factor that helps with the passwords is the length. The length of the password has to be a 12 or 13 character long at least, and obviously a mix of characters and special characters and so on. So all of these, I think, are the basic things that every individual should know about. Not to use the same password for different accounts. Also, never to use public Wi-Fi to log into bank accounts. Always having backups of our hard disks or whatever data that is important to us. And then being vigilant on recognizing fake sites, you know, especially banking sites, being aware of and recognizing HTTP, HTTPS, the difference between those, and not to click the link that comes from unknown sources and hover over the link to see what it is, you know, is it really what it claims to be? So these are some of the important things for people who are not really aware of cybersecurity, but they must take care of.
Yep. Thanks for sharing. Hearing what you're saying, it seems like you have dealt a lot with cybersecurity throughout your career, maybe in your personal life even. So can you share with me what makes you interested in cybersecurity?
Yeah, sure. I think while I like to manage projects or programs, working within cybersecurity industry is so exciting and a total game changer. We're living in the times of digital transformation and more so in COVID times where everyone is now moving on to a digital platform. And while with every new technology, there comes some benefit, it also has some security challenges and tech innovations are going to happen all the time. There will always be an associated security challenge to be tackled. So there is no dull moment here. And that is what makes me so interested into cybersecurity. I think my ingrained inquisitive and risk-based approach in life in general, that is completely aligned with the cybersecurity challenges. It's such a diverse field and there's something for everyone to contribute to. It's become so important today and it's so evolving and there's continuous changes and challenges and it's become one of the things of very, very prime importance for all the businesses alike, right? I mean, not just bigger banks or bigger organizations, even SMEs are getting affected so much with data breaches and so on that we look at in news every other day. So a lot of action will happen in the next 10, 20, 30 years also. And I'm very blessed to be a part of this industry where we get to solve challenges posed by individuals. And also, I think I love to learn about emerging technologies. Every technology, as I mentioned, it brings in some kind of digital risk. And you name it and you have it. I have a security word attached to it these days, right? You know, cloud security, container security. You talk of blockchain security or IoT ecosystem security. So it's kind of a field which keeps us always so excited with learning new things every day and how to implement those, you know, into protecting, identifying or detecting or even responding and recovering from the cyber attacks or the vulnerabilities that threaten the confidentiality or integrity or availability of the business or client data or triggers any misuse. So it's really of prime importance more than ever before. And I guess I'm totally fascinated by this field altogether.
So many different fields. Is there a point, like where did you start initially? Which area that you start with in the beginning?
Oh, yes. So quick flashback on my 15 years of career journey. I was a science student and I was very good in mathematics and I found coding pretty easy and scoring in my school. So I went on to complete my engineering degree in computer technology and my first job in India was of a software developer. I transitioned between various technologies and jobs in the initial few years and gradually I took responsibilities more into business analysis and IT project management because that gives us a holistic view of the business. So that's something that I really like doing. Finally, when I found myself within the identity and access management domain of information security, that was the time I realized I finally found the purpose and direction to my career within the engineering team earlier. And even before I worked within security teams for security projects, I was in a way working on applications with focus on security as a developer as well. Like I was aware of many of the controls from OWASP Top 10, like the Open Web Application Security Project. And other aspects of secure configurations, etc. I was also working like on remediations from time to time. Like we had some initiative to remove all hard-coded passwords very, very long back. And I knew the importance of backups, replicas, and you know effective change management practices. And I used to work like to provide evidence to internal, external audit teams and working on regulatory compliance requirements from MAS or so on. And even within my role with the identity and access management role that I had, I was TSO delegate. TSO also is like Technical Information Security Officer. So for those applications, I was working on risk assessments and regulatory requirements and so on. And gradually, as I moved roles and jobs, I got opportunity to manage various cybersecurity projects. And then, of course, I accelerated my learning into this field and did some relevant certifications. And the learning remains the way of life, especially in this industry.
Yeah, the last point here for those of listeners who are thinking of switching as well, like from engineering, you know, software development into other areas, specifically security, is there any tips for them that you can share? How did you do that?
I would say that, yes, I understand that sometimes when we are within the engineering, we are too focused just into the design, architecture, or development of applications, right? And what I would suggest is to get to know the larger business purpose, to focus on what is the value that your applications are providing to the business. So for me, it so happened that when I moved on to BA role, even when I was within the engineering role, I was quite focused on the security. But actually, if you want to make a transition, you can maybe try to get into a BA role, business analyst role, or a project manager role, wherein you interact more with the business, more with the stakeholders and the internal auditors, and you are working on to get broader insights about the breadth and depth of some domain. And if you happen to be fortunate to be in an information security domain, I would definitely say you must leverage on it. And if you are not into a cybersecurity domain, then definitely there are other ways. If you have a learning appetite, no one can stop one to get to where they want to be. There's so much to do within security. There's the myth that security is all about hacking, but it is not, believe me. There is an entire area of security policies, governance, risk, and compliance, which is where we usually start with developing the frameworks and so on. And then we have identity and access management, which is also crucial to cloud security, for instance. And then we have application security. People who are developers, who are working within applications should try to find out, are there any vulnerabilities within the applications they are designing or developing? So there's threat modeling that they can start with. I did a course in threat modeling last year, which was really insightful. There is a huge amount of data security and prevention of breaches as well these days that is in huge demand. So if you are, for instance, into analytics, you can also work into security. There's a huge demand of data scientists because we have like huge events and data, you know, millions of events processed by organizations every day. So the data scientists, automation experts are in huge demand as well. And then there is like other areas like the security awareness trainings, which are so important and also a part of driving campaigns against phishing and so on. So that is again one area that someone can explore. If you are good into coding and you're very good in problem solving, you can go into malware protection or analysis of malware. And then there is a huge domain called cryptography, where we learn how do we protect our data by encryption and so on and so forth. I mean, there's digital forensics, there's cybersecurity, security operations. There's so much for everyone to do in there. There's threat hunting, a lot of things into authentication and risk management. So you have to find what you're good at and then leverage on it. Build up from there, identify the gaps, read or, you know, train on those, get into some online trainings, participate in networking events, the events that we have for awareness, for cybersecurity. We also have a lot of technical workshops that are free that you can attend within Singapore community. So there's no end to learning. There's just an attitude that is required and the drive.
Right, right. There are so many things we need to learn. Are there any favorite resources or maybe top people that you follow from the industry where you get the knowledge about the latest cybersecurity trends or maybe even threats?
Yes, for me to start with my learning, I started to read the NIST cybersecurity frameworks, and they have frameworks for everything, for risk management and so on. NIST is a National Institute of Standards and Technologies. There are so many blogs out there that you can subscribe to, like Information Security Magazine is for very basic information updates that if you want to have daily into your mailbox, then you can follow a lot of security enthusiasts on the Twitter if you are on social media. And there are CIS controls, you know, CIS is Center for Internet Security that you can start with. CIS 20 is what they call their controls to be the basic ones. So it contains like basic foundational and organizational categories. And they list all of these areas that I mentioned about in general. So there are good courses on EDX, Udemy, and there is cybrary.it. And from SANS Institute as well, you know, there are many resources like cyberaces.org. And then for news in general, you can subscribe with ThreatPost. Then there is a Hacker News. And then there are newsletters from various sources. And there are many times free courses available that you can just leverage on. You can even start reading with some white papers or some risk management guidelines like we have for MAS. MAS is Monetary Authority of Singapore. So we have MAS DRM, like Technology Risk Management Guidelines, which is also something that's a really good starting point for any individual who wants to explore more into risk management and cybersecurity. Once a person has sufficient work experience that's required for some certifications, you can build up, you know, from there to get, for instance, what I benefit from was the learning path to CISSP certification. I learned a lot about the varied domains within the security, and the exam also inculcates a kind of discipline more than anything else. So I think one has to just figure out which area is of interest, and then they can build up on that with all the available learning resources.
Wow, there are so many places that we can all start to learn about this cybersecurity. In the beginning, you shared a lot about your community contribution, volunteering, right? And also working in the industry. So what makes you so interested in doing a lot of volunteering and community contributions?
Yeah, I think that's something that comes from within. I kind of like to get involved with the community, and to give back is something that's inherent in me. I mean, if it was not for cybersecurity or technology, I used to do other volunteering work with other associations in Singapore. I really like to add value and encourage people, and especially, you know, the younger generation, to leverage on their skills and to build up from there. I also try to mentor a few women in specific, because as we know that women are usually lack that kind of confidence even if they possess the skills. So I think getting there and helping out people is something that's kind of really good way even to learn ourselves, because even with the kind of campaign that I mentioned about, it gave me so much happiness, and it was such a great opportunity for me to connect with individuals on the ground level, as in we just do our day job, and if that is all we are doing, I think it's a real big gap in there. There has to be something out of your day job that you must be actively involved in that keeps you active, that keeps you humane, that keeps you very grounded. And I think some of these also come from my core values and being a spiritually inclined person that I am. So yeah, I think it really gives me a great deal of happiness. I have also always volunteered within organization CSR programs. At present, also I volunteer as a mentor for Halogen Foundation that our firm supports. It is basically to support building young leaders and entrepreneurs. It is very important to help and collaborate with the community. And Henry, you also do so much collaboration yourself. I mean, I'm truly amazed by your initiatives. So we definitely get further inspiration when we look at our peers. And it's really great that more people follow the path.
Right. Thanks for sharing all that. So I want to pick out one thing that you mentioned just now about women lacking confidence in the industry. What do you think are some of the probably root causes of this lack of confidence?
I think there can be multiple reasons for it. Maybe they do not have the time to devote, or they somehow do not believe that they can make a difference. Maybe they have all the skill sets, but they think that technology or cybersecurity is not for them. So there can be multiple reasons. As of now, you know, if I were to give you statistics just for cybersecurity, in 2013, there were only 11% in cybersecurity workforce globally that accounted for women counterparts. And this number, though, is reported like 20% in 2019 and 24% in 2020. So I think we're still very far from the perfect situation, but we are definitely on the right track in trying to improve the awareness and taking all these initiatives. So I guess they should not just believe stereotypes when people say that technology is all about coding or cybersecurity is all about hacking, and they shouldn't lose their confidence there. They should research, they should take things on their hands and to find out and explore what it is really all about. what are the domains, areas, and things that really need contribution to and would also give them a great career opportunity. Also on the confidence part, I think they have to be more participative and more involved with the community. When I attend events, to be honest, I usually find only 2, 3 or maybe maximum 10 women participants around. It's really something that I would want to change. And even for women who attend these events, they are shy to speak out. So I think that the lack of confidence might be coming from thinking that, oh, we are in such a huge group out there. And what if we fail? What if we are not accepted, you know? And also maybe we all try to be perfect in some way or the other. But I guess no one out there is perfect and we are all learning. So if you do not know it all to begin with, just leverage on what you are really good at and find your strengths and speak out for yourself. Either it is to pave a path on your career journey or to speak in an event that you are passionate about. There would always be a time where you feel, I'm not well prepared. You know, like what happens when we have an exam? We never feel fully ready. But when we go to the exam and we have done enough preparation for it, I think we will do well and we would pass it. So I think we all face challenges, but the key is to keep believing in yourself. And do not look at if at all there's any criticism that comes across. Just move beyond it. Move beyond self-doubt. Perfectionism also, you know, because we all make mistakes. The point is just to keep improving. For instance, you know, just for me, as an example, I would say I've never spoken in any event, but I have taken a challenge and I would be speaking on a cybersecurity topic next month. So there's a first time for a lot of things out in our career, but one thing leads to the next. So take charge. Do not hold back is what my advice would be for all women out there.
Thank you for your message. There's so many good tips you mentioned. Speaking out, don't be too perfectionist, don't criticize yourself. I think that's all are very good suggestions. So is there any community for cybersecurity or women in cybersecurity in Singapore or maybe around the world that people can probably participate?
Oh, yes, there are so many communities. And with the current COVID times, while everything is virtual, we are not confined to even the boundaries of cities or countries. You know, we can participate in global events. I do all the time. And it's really admirable that people are coming forward to volunteer to conduct workshops and events. And most of these are free of cost. So there's something for people at all levels in cybersecurity. To start with, people can join a great meetup group that's pioneered by an amazing lady in the US. It's called Cybersecurity Career Talks. They conduct live streams. So there are multiple videos available on YouTube by this channel. Then there are conferences like RSA APJ, that is Asia Pacific Japan, which was in July this year. And it was free to attend for anyone who registers. And then there's Black Hat and various conferences coming up as well. There are many security summits that happen and you can register free of cost. And you have access to a lot of events and keynote sessions. There are focused talks as well, organized by various communities and organizations, for instance, for cloud security, IoT security. And within Singapore itself, we have Association of Security Professionals, AISP, Division Zero, Cyber Risk Meetups, and those are specific to cybersecurity. And there are specific groups that focus on bringing forward women in security. So there is Women of Security in Singapore, and there are sub-chapters from Division Zero, ISACA, like She Leads Tech. And there's no end to, I think, to meetup groups. And it's similar to as we have it for various technologies, like you conduct events for Google Developer Space. And then there are Agile, DevOps, AI, blockchain forums. For people who hold a certification like CISSP, for instance, they can be a part of ISE Square chapter, where we have been conducting so many knowledge sharing webinars all through. And there are women-focused groups as well, which are for generic technology, something like Lean In, Girls in Tech. And just that one has to figure out his or her area of interest and then actively register or get involved and get into that roller coaster learning path. In fact, Women of Security Singapore is launching a Cyber Women X Series event just upcoming in September. And that's also supported by Cybersecurity Agency of Singapore, AISP, and other associations. So there are multiple workshops, CTF, a number of great talks lined up. So there's always something or the other happening. In fact, LinkedIn is another great source. You know, build a network around with people who work in the area that you are interested in and just follow their posts. There are so many announcements for events that you can register for free and, you know, take it from there.
I have also a personal question. I mean, like, obviously implementing the best security is a trade-off, right? Sometimes it's about convenience as well. I mean, sometimes even personally myself about changing password or making the password secure, or even like making sure that everything that I use is fully secure, your data, your application, your version, updates, patches, and things like that. There's so many things, right? And sometimes you probably kind of lose your convenience. So my question here is, where is the balance between convenience versus security? Is there any somewhere in the middle, or one should probably opt more about security rather than anything else? What's your take on that?
Yeah, there has to be balance, you're right. But I think with the kind of security breaches and attacks that we are witnessing in this era, it becomes of prior importance that we prioritize security at the top. Though it is, I understand, not very convenient when organizations have to patch, for instance, thousands of their infrastructure assets overnight or within 3 or 5 days. But we have all seen examples. It started, I think, big on awareness with the WannaCry ransomware attack somewhere in 2017, right, which had more than 300,000 computers infected. And the vulnerability that was exploited was Windows Server Message Block protocol. And while Microsoft had already released patches, they were not yet applied. The point I'm trying to make is that consequences of not following security best practices or security hygiene are way higher than some inconvenience that we have to go through. Even installing an antivirus solution is something that people question, right? That the machine would get slower, or maybe some or the other thing. How do we keep paying $30 maybe a year for it? But just imagine how valuable or how much value your data entails, and then compare it to the kind of small price that you're paying for it. So I think once that kind of mindset shift happens, it doesn't really seem like a point of inconvenience anymore.
Right. So moving to the next big topic, obviously these days we are exposed to social media and your data and privacy, right? What's your take on using social media and about the security risks of using that?
Oh, yes. Everyone is so intrigued by the social media these days. And the information we are sharing out there is a lot more than we should ideally be doing so, right? People do share where they are, what they're doing, and everything else. There has to be, again, a kind of awareness that we do not go make it public. I think it's good to share some things with our friends and family. So that's the reason the privacy settings exist in the first place. So making use of those and really, really being aware of what our social media interactions can lead to, I think it's a very important topic to pay attention to. I think I remember one of the incidents where a person posted something publicly on Facebook about his children studying wherever. And, you know, there was some kidnapping incident that took place due to the coordinates of the child that were released via the social media unintentionally, just, you know, for the sake of fun or for the sake of just sharing the information around. So things can lead to really disastrous endings, I guess, if at all we are not aware of what social media handles we are using and how do we use our privacy settings in the better way.
Then what I believe in, while we do have different passwords, hopefully everyone follows this basic practice. So we also should have separate email IDs for sharing and putting out there, because we register to many webinars, we are required to provide an email ID on many occasions, like we book flights, hotels. So to keep those IDs separate from the ones we use for our banking or important transactions. That is important as well, because we all are aware of so many data breaches that happen and we do not know who's using those email IDs and how. And we all have examples of a Marriott data breach, which had impacted millions of users, and Yahoo data breach that had affected like 3 billion users. So it's always a good practice as well to follow, I would say.
And how about fake news, which is another big topic in the recent years, because how much influence it could make, seeing in so many different places in the world, right, where people generate fake news. For us as a normal people, how should we go about fake news? How do we identify them and how do we avoid them?
Yeah, fake news is a big deal these days, and we must be practicing some awareness and common sense to detect the sources that this news is coming to us from. For instance, just to believe any WhatsApp forward or any post on Facebook is not an ideal way to deal or, you know, go ahead in this world. Even for COVID-19, I think there were so many fake news coming across, right from how different countries are dealing with and what are the best solutions, or even up till this medicines that people should consume or things like that.
So false information is dangerous because of its ability to affect public opinion, and that can lead to dire consequences sometimes. You know, fake stories are amplified and news are disseminated quickly through false accounts as well. These are like sometimes automated bots, and most bots are benign in nature, and some major sites like Facebook, they ban bots and seek to remove them. But there are social bots that are malicious entities, you know, designed specifically with a purpose to harm. And these bots mislead, exploit, and manipulate social media discourse with rumors, malware, misinformation, or just even noise. And in some countries, they've started regulating false news. For Facebook, since 2018, it has been actively shutting down accounts that are responsible for spreading hoaxes in some countries, especially those holding general elections. So Facebook's measures include removing fake accounts and reducing the reach of articles that have been debunked by independent third-party fact-checkers. And there are initiatives with a lot of organizations otherwise as well. WhatsApp has recently, in August 2020, has rolled out a new fact-check feature to step up the fight against disinformation and fake news. So this feature allows users to check the contents of viral messages, as they call these messages to be. So how can we figure this out? While we see a forward sign, like mostly on all the forwards that we send and receive, now the fact-check feature appears as a magnifying glass icon just next to the message forwarded. The criteria is that message has already been forwarded to 5 or more people. So if you click on this magnifying glass, it would prompt like, would you like to search this on the web? And then this would upload the message to Google. For instance, if it's a COVID-19 related news, it would reflect the Mythbusters section from WHO and so on. Also in Singapore, the government agencies debunked about like 40 instances of speculation, rumors, spam, and outright falsehoods about COVID-19 in specific over all social media platforms in just about first 5 months of 2020. So you can also go directly to factcheck.org to verify information. Of course, always check the source and examine the evidences before you believe anything.
Thank you for sharing that, because I myself sometimes also, you know, trying to verify, oh, is this news true or not? Especially if it's shared on the messaging applications like WhatsApp, Telegram, just like what you mentioned, right? Sometimes it also takes effort, like to key in, oh, this is news that I'm reading, find yes. It on the right sources. And I mean, it takes time sometimes, and people sometimes tend to like forward the message straight away without actually thinking, and that probably could create even more fake news in the next phase, right?
Absolutely.
So I mean, we can talk all day long about security, but I guess before we wrap up here, I would like to ask a question, which I normally ask for every guest that I have in this podcast. So can you share with us, what are your 3 technical leadership wisdom for the audience to learn from?
Sure. Let me think. I think a technical leader fosters technical innovation and understands the technology lifecycle well. So to start with, the first wisdom I would like to share would be, whenever we have any innovation that one tends to share with the community, it should make some business sense. Implementing a technology just because it gets someone excited wouldn't work. I think leader initiates and steers the commercialization of technological advances, right? So if one is building services and technologies that are incredibly useful, that create impact, that is a clear sign of being in the right direction. So I think every technical implementation has to make business sense. Even in cybersecurity, for instance, is to keep businesses secure and uninterrupted. So there's a purpose to it, and there's a business sense to it. The second great and important skill, I would say, is having the right communication skills. because the tech leader is someone who links the business and technology strategies. And the tech leader is a bridge between the business teams and technical teams working on the ground. So how to translate that strategy from your business into how it should really work or look in terms of technology is something that has to be very, very clearly specified and well communicated. So that is an important, crucial part of being a tech leader. And I think beyond this, there are subtle aspects of communication that are way beyond just the basics. The way a leader communicates with the team, and especially in challenging times, how stable, positive, and calm the leader can be, you know, that actually goes in for a communication with their own self. So how much positivity one has and how one takes feedback and how much grit and persistence one has to continue to have that positive communication with oneself and with others in times of challenges, being timely and effective in communication with the teams, with being transparent and confident about your decisions so that the shareholders or the stakeholders do have that confidence as well on a high level. And also, I think giving due credit, recognition, and respect to the team, all is a part of communication. And then thirdly, I guess a leader has to keep questioning the architecture goals. They're paramount. It's like laying down foundation for building scalable apps in future. So this doesn't mean that they don't trust the technical team or so. It reflects their involvement and their experience and expertise that they bring to the picture, especially when they have that strategic vision. And they just have to get inquisitive about how the architecture is being laid down, because they are the ones who understand the technological revolutions. They are supposed to be the ones who know the scale and the performance and so on and so forth, the criteria that surround the technology further down the line. So I think these three are the core, according to me.
Right. Great wisdoms indeed for all the technical leaders out there. Thank you for your time, Neha. It's been a great pleasure talking about security. I myself am not like a super security aware kind of person. Definitely, there are many things that I learned today from you. And also a big message to all the people out there, right? There are so many security things that you need to be aware of. There are so many communities that you can get started with. So many trainings as well, if you want to know more about security yourself. And specifically for women, I think just like what Neha mentioned, there are so many avenues where you can participate in the industry and in this cybersecurity as well. So lastly, Neha, is there a place where people can find you online?
Oh, yes, I'm very much on LinkedIn. So please feel free to connect with me. I'm happy to mentor as well, share anything that you need from my end in terms of information. Yeah, I'd be pleased to connecting.
All right. That's very kind of you. Thanks for your time, Neha.
Thank you so much for having me, Henry. And it was a great pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to my conversation with Neha. I hope you all learn a lot about cybersecurity and why it is very important to be aware of it, especially at this time when digital adoption has been accelerating rapidly. For those of you women listeners, especially in tech, I hope you also get inspired by Neha's message and be more active and participative in the tech industry and communities. There are a number of women communities that Neha mentioned, which you can also find in the show notes by visiting the techleadjournal.dev website. Lastly, I want to remind you again to subscribe your email address on the Tech Lead Journal website. And if you like this podcast so much and would like to pledge your support for it, consider becoming a patron at techleadjournal.dev/patron. I will deeply appreciate your support in order to make the production of this podcast more sustainable. Thanks again, and I'll see you in the next episode.